If you have your prayer book handy, I invite you to open it to page 852. On page 852, you will find yourself in the middle of what we call the catechism. Now, catechism is an ancient methodology for teaching the basics of the Christian faith. And a catechism is usually composed of questions and answers. And one of the funny things for me about this is that these are questions that it is important for every Christian to ask. And the answers are good answers, but they're not the whole picture, are they? Because we're never done answering the questions. So we have questions that are good and important and authoritative, and we have answers that are just kind of the beginning, the inspiration, the invitation to begin to explore those questions more fully. And so for the next 5 weeks, I want to teach about the Holy Spirit. I notice that I don't tend to talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, but it's there in the catechism, and therefore it's an important question for us to consider. And so we're going to do that, guided by the catechism. And so tonight we're going to begin with the first question. I'm going to ask that question, and I invite you to respond with the words of the catechism there on the bottom of page 852. So I ask you, who is the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God at work in the world and in the church, even now.
May I so teach in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our first reading tonight was not from the Revised Common Lectionary, from which our readings usually come. I had to go and ask special permission from our bishop to choose alternative readings as we talk about the Holy Spirit. And so our first reading tonight from the prophet Joel begins with this curious injunction. God says through the prophet, "Do not fear, O soil." I've never heard of dirt being afraid before. Right? People are afraid, right? And in the Bible, throughout the Bible, you all the time have people being told, "Do not fear." Right? Whenever an angel appears or God manifests in some way, usually the first thing that the heavenly being says is, "Do not be afraid." When Jesus rose from the dead and came to visit with his apostles, he always had to start with, "It's okay, don't be afraid." And so we're used to people being afraid, but not soil. What does it mean for the soil to complain and to fear? The passage we're reading from in the prophet Joel is at a time in the life of the people Israel when there has been an invasion. Multiple waves of locusts have decimated the crops, have eaten over the ground and eaten over the leftovers until there is nothing left but dust. Maybe even there were armies of people attacking Israel as well. It's hard to know. But the prophet speaks of locusts, just armies of locusts, decimating the crops. And this makes me think of today, Ukraine, right? In the news, I keep hearing about how Ukraine and Russia together produce such a large portion of the world's grain and other goods. And when they are cut off by war and by sanctions, then we have a fear of food shortages coming around. And those food shortages might affect us less being in a wealthy country where we can afford to buy things and where we grow a lot of our own grains. But you may have noticed rising prices week after week at whichever grocery store you like to go to. As we deal with inflation and worries about recession. And yet when we read the Bible, we are often thinking on a couple different levels, aren't we? We're thinking about the physical world, and so, okay, soil, do not be afraid. But we're also thinking about what's going on inside. And I wonder what armies of locusts have come through your life and stripped bare your life's emotional resources. What armies, what challenges have come through and just left you raw and bare and vulnerable, like ground that has been raised? What estrangements or disappointments or perhaps addictions or perhaps a job that is sucking the life out of you? All kinds of things come into our lives and leave the soil of our hearts dry, cracked, and burnt over, with all the green shoots consumed, all the way down to the roots. And we're left with the seeds of life inside shriveling up, feeling unproductive. I think of places in the arid places in the Middle East, or maybe north and south of the Sahara in Africa, where the deserts threaten to encroach on the productive lands. And this kind of encroachment happens in our lives as we are assaulted by difficult things. And so the prophet tells us, "Do not fear, O soil." God acknowledges, God hears your pain and your hardship. Just like when Israel was enslaved in Egypt, God sees and God hears and God responds to the difficult things in your life. And so this is the story that we hear of God throughout the Bible, God's consistent practice. Life is not easy, ever it seems, but God does not abandon us. God makes promises of abundant rains, of fruitfulness, of an overflowing plenty, despite the barrenness we might encounter today. God makes promises of contentment and satisfaction, of safety and even renown. And so we have this great promise from our prophecy today. Afterward, after all these hard times finally come to an end, afterward, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, says God. So God's Holy Spirit is God's active and abundant and healing activity in the world and in us. God's Holy Spirit dwells within human beings, dwells within all flesh. And when you and I were baptized, right, what we were doing was we were acknowledging and embracing and accepting God's Holy Spirit and saying, yes, I want to live a life that experiences God's Holy Spirit at work within me. And God's Holy Spirit is concerned with more than just our physical bodies, although God is concerned with our bodies. And God's Holy Spirit is concerned with more than intellectual satisfaction, though God's Holy Spirit is a part of our intellect. But God's Holy Spirit embraces the full breadth of life. And that's why sometimes that Holy Spirit can only be comprehended in prophecy, in these ecstatic visions, in these things that transcend our capacity to put words around them. Sometimes Episcopalians know ourselves as the frozen chosen because we tend to have a fairly quiet way of manner in our worship services as compared to some of our Pentecostal neighbors. And yet, those more charismatic expressions that we see in some of our neighbors are important signs and symbols for us to remember that God's Holy Spirit is bigger than that which can be expressed in words, bigger than things that we can wrap our minds around. And sometimes they just bust through all the barriers into ecstatic expression. Dreams and visions and comprehensions beyond the norm. And we can give thanks for that, because our lives are bigger than the things that we can express. And our hurts and our pains and our troubles are bigger than the things that we can put words around. And so the Holy Spirit is big enough to encompass all of those things, even the things that we can't wrap our minds around. Do not fear, O soil. The Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, make a consistent witness, front to start, Genesis to Revelation, about how we know God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that God, as such, has a consistent manner, a consistent practice, a consistent purpose. And so the Holy Spirit is that experience of God living within us, carrying out God's good purpose, teaching us mysteries beyond words, informing us and empowering the kinds of lives that we can live. Do not fear, O soil. Whatever hardships you have known, the soil of your life has never been beyond rescue. You might even say that those hardships have only been preparing you to meet God. It's in the most hopeless situations of our lives that God's activity can be seen the most clearly. And so the Holy Spirit is still at work today. It is a promise that God has promised to pour out on all flesh. And when the Holy Spirit meets the circumstances of your life, the result is going to be a rich and dark and fertile soil in which the seeds of your life can sprout and take root and grow and bloom and bear fruit. It is a promise from God of abundant rains, of fruitfulness, of overflowing plenty. And the work that we do as a church is we learn together to wait for the Holy Spirit, to endure the difficulties that life has to offer, to listen for God's voice, to recognize the power of God at work in our lives, to engage with God's good work in this world, and to rejoice in God's presence and activity in our lives. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God at work in the world and in the church, even now. Amen.